You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So today we are examining the temptations that can arise in various types of relationships, including romantic, familial, and friendships. These relationships are foundational to our lives, yet they can be a source of significant temptation, such as infidelity, dishonesty, and unforgiveness. So we are exploring these temptations, their impact on the relationships, and biblical strategies to overcome them. I'm joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Munga, who's going to be helping us with this one. Pundiswami, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you today?
We are good, Pastor. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
It's a pleasure.
Indeed. Pundiswami, I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for another moment to come in your presence to share the good news. We pray that your spirit will lead us and will guide us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Relationships and temptations. Okay. I'm going to behave myself.
You're most welcome.
Yeah. So how can infidelity, Fundiswami, impact romantic relationships?
Infidelity can impact romantic relationships in a way, in a lot of ways. I'm sure infidelity, we are talking about unfaithfulness, if we are to use a simpler word. Unfaithfulness in romantic relationship can be in a strict in a love relationship. Unfaithfulness or infidelity erodes the confidence and the trust in any relationship. When there's infidelity, when there's lack of trust in a relationship, it will erode, it will remove confidence and the trust. In other words, like Chinua Achebe would say, things fall apart.
Yes.
The center can no longer hold, because faithfulness is what holds a relationship. But if you find the traces of unfaithfulness in the friend, then confidence and the trust are betrayed, which is not health at all.
True. So what biblical principles are they that can help us to overcome this temptation of unfaithfulness?
Thank you. In the Bible, like the Ten Commandments, we have got a lot of thou shalt not, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, no graven images, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Like if we talked about infidelity in a relationship. The Bible tells us we should not do that. Because when we do that, then we are saying we cannot be trusted. And we also not trust the other person. So like the songwriter said, trust and obey.
Yes.
There are no other ways of being happy apart from trusting and obey. So it is important for us to trust and obey God first. Because we are accountable to God. So when we are faithful to God, we will also be faithful to each other. And faithfulness, it starts first with God. When we are not faithful with God, it is easier to be unfaithful to anyone else, even to ourselves. So we need, thus saith the Lord.
So, when do you see, when one commits, becomes unfaithful, commits adultery or infidelity, right? It goes hand in hand with honesty. So when where there is no honesty in a relationship, how does it now ruin or jeopardize a healthy relationship?
Unfaithfulness jeopardizes a healthy relationship. Because like we have said, honesty builds trust. If you can trust the other person, if the other person is honest in word and in action, then you trust that person. And then that relationship becomes health on the basis of that honesty, which you finally, because those are the building blocks of a healthy relationship. Honest and trust. But when honesty is betrayed, then the relationship is no longer health. And then it becomes problematic. And unfortunately, When one person proves to be not to be honest, at times you tend even not to trust other people also. Like it happens with victims of rape. Maybe a child is raped when they are too young. They may tend to look at all men as rapists because of what one person did. So when one person is unfaithful, the other person may tend to see other people also being the same. So it does not only affect the two people, but it also affects how we see other people also.
So, Mpundisi, when we're looking at a lot of families or hearing stories about families, right, the issue of unforgiveness comes through. So why is it that unforgiveness particularly is harmful to familial, right, English relationships?
Yeah.
And what can families take, Mpundiswami, to deal with it?
Yeah, and unforgiveness for sure is harmful in a relationship. One, it's harmful to our social being. It also harmful to our health. Remember, when you are unforgiving, your body tends to lose its immunity. So it is not only mentally, it also affects you physically. And we can learn a lot of lessons from Joseph, who forgave his brothers. We can also learn from God, who forgives us. And meaning we too need to learn to forgive and then move on. Like Joseph would do it. He forgave the brothers and he moved on. God forgives us and we move on. So in our families, it is important to promote an open dialogue forum and welcome uncomfortable conversations in the family. At one time, at one church, I was invited for a family life program. So in the afternoon, we decided to separate the children from the parents. And we decided everybody to have uncomfortable conversations. So we told the children, you are in one group. You write 10 things you like about your parents and 10 things you don't like about your parents. We also told the parents the same, write 10 things you like about your children, 10 things you don't like. And a comfortable conversation, they bring out a lot of things.
Yes.
So in that forum, we learned a lot. So we need also to do the same in our families.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong for you, Zanele, to call your husband. You are not, there's no fight, there's nothing. But you simply tell, honey, are there certain things that you don't like that I do?
Yes. Hey.
Not only will you have to wait until there's a quarrel, that's when you say, no, there's this and that, the way you press the toothpaste, the way you do this, the way you bang the toothpaste. No.
Hey, you see.
We need those uncomfortable conversations in peace. My wife, is there could be certain things that I do, maybe unknowingly, that you don't like. Or there's something that I did some time back that you are not happy with. Those conversations are not comfortable, but they are health because they review a lot of things and they promote an environment where we can be open to each other.
Yeah.
And also forgive.
So, Mpundisi, how can now, in what ways now can betrayal manifest in friendships, and how can these friends work, to prevent and overcome this betrayal that happens in friendships?
Betrayal manifests itself in a lot of ways. For example, if you heard that Pastor Munga was talking bad about you with Derek, that is a betrayal.
True.
Because whether what I said was true or not, you expected that I should have talked to you in person.
Yes.
In the same way, if I heard that, oh, Zanele was talking, was backbiting, he revealed a secret to another party. Like us pastors, we are in constantly, we are doing counseling, and you hear a lot of things that we don't reveal even to our wives. But if another party heard what I was discussing, what someone confided in me, then I have betrayed. I'm manifesting that betrayal to this person. Or maybe even in a sermon, I'll say, no. There's this wife who said this about the husband. But meanwhile, it was shared in confidence.
Yes.
But I make a sermon out of it.
Hey.
And someone can even relate that. And even others, so if I also confide something with this person, it will also become another sermon.
Mm.
So those are some of the ways that in which way we can manifest our betrayal with other people.
Mm.
And we can learn from God.
Yes.
We pour our secrets to God in prayer. He does not report us anywhere. In some of the things that we tell God, some of the things that we do, you agree with me, Zane, that they are crimes, actually.
True.
You can be arrested, actually. The police can pick you up if they knew. This is what Zane is thinking about this person.
Hey.
But God does not do that. We tell God, these are my thoughts, this is this. But he does not do that. So meaning even us as friends, we need to be sincere and be honest to each other.
Mm.
And honest with, being sincere and honest with each other. Being open. If there's something that you see in your friend, why not bringing it up? Than going to tell another person, no, I found this person doing this and that. No, it shouldn't be like that. We need to be sincere. We need to be open to each other all the time.
So, Mfundisi, now when we go to the Bible, right, how does it guide us now in terms of forgiving our friends who have wronged us? And what steps can we really take now to restore those relationships or mend them? Or, hi, you have wronged me, ne? Bye-bye, I'm no longer your friend. Cut. You know, we cut. What does the Bible say, Mfundisi? How does it guide us in terms of that?
You know, forgiveness is a tough word, and it's a tough journey that can only be backed divinely, meaning we can only do it by God's help. The Bible talks about 70 times 70.
Yeah.
And 70 times 70, actually, it means actually you forgive endlessly.
Mm.
Because when you forgive me, and I wrong you tomorrow, you don't have to refer to that, to what I did to you yesterday.
Mm.
So that means it's actually endless. So humanly speaking, we can't do it on our own. We can do it by God's power. And then we also need to know that forgiveness has got stages. Forgiveness has got a process. It's not just like you have said, bye-bye, okay, you have wronged me. Okay, go away, go to hell, I also go my way. No.
Yeah.
Forgiveness has got stages. There's hurt, there's pain, there's healing. And there's forgiveness, and perhaps reconciliation. So when you step on my toes, I'm hurt, and I feel the pain. I need the healing, and then need forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation, I can't force it.
Yes.
But I have to do my part. And when we come to the process of forgiveness now, I have to list, you have to list the people and events that have hurt you. You have to be deliberate about forgiveness.
Mm.
You list the people. You list the events that have hurt you. And then you make a decision. Forgiveness is a decision.
True.
Just like love. It's not just an emotion. It's a decision that you make. When we say for better or for worse, that's a decision. No one forces you. You say it yourself.
Mm.
So even forgiveness, it should be a decision. And then it should be accompanied by self-talk. You talk to yourself. How long am I going to be a prisoner of the past? Because when you have not forgiven someone, you are a prisoner of the past. And you have to ask yourself those questions. How long am I going to be remain in my own prison?
Yes.
Because the person who hurt you may even have forgotten you.
Hey.
But you still remember. So we need that. So the way God forgave us is the way we should also forgive. And at the same time, one thing that we can speak, if I had the way of speaking in capital letters, I could have spoken this. There is no one, Zanere and our listeners, that you are going to hurt. There's no one who hurts you the way you hurt God by being a sinner.
Hey.
There is no human being on planet Earth or in the universe who hurts you the way you have hurt God by being a sinner.
Mm.
There is no one I'll injure in this world the way I have injured God by being a sinner. Yet forgive me. So I have also to do the same. If I have accepted God's forgiveness, I have to forgive another person also. If I have not accepted God's forgiveness, then I can also not forgive another person.
Mm.
So when we find it difficult to forgive others, we are saying, I have not accepted the forgiveness from God. Because I have not accepted it, I cannot forgive another person too.
Mfundis, you got me there when you said forgiveness is a decision, you know, because sometimes we think like it's not a decision, it's something else. But we are taking that today, that it's a decision. And even for me, it also goes with these temptations that we are having. It's a decision, you know, that you react. You will be tempted, but how you act on the temptation, it's a decision. You know, it all boils down to decisions. So, Mfundi Swami, thank you. Any closing words regarding these coping with temptations in our relationships that you would like to say to our listeners? And then after that, Mfundi, I'm going to ask that please do offer a word of prayer.
Thank you. Maybe just an emphasis on forgiveness. Forgiveness helps more the person who is forgiving than the person who is being forgiven.
Mm.
So when you forgive me, Zanere, you are helping yourself. You are not helping me.
Mm.
Because you forgive me in a corner there, I may not even know. So it helps you. You have released yourself from a prison. And then you are a free person. Health-wise, it also helps you to build your immunity. So no wonder we need to do that. And finally, we can only do that by God's power. We can forgive by God's power. Mm. We can remain faithful to our partners, to our family members, and honest to them only by God's power.
Yeah.
We can pray.
Yes, please.
Our Father, who art in heaven, there are a lot of things that we have talked about that are meant to build our lives as Christians, that are meant to build us as human beings that you created in your own image. How we pray that your Holy Spirit may translate these lessons in our real life experiences, and that our neighbors will know and will see that indeed you are living in us. Be with us, bless our listeners, bless our presenter Zanele, and bless everyone. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
You're most welcome. Blessings received. Same to you and our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.